Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody, for another hour of Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrecht. It is Tommy Kester. We are ready for you to have some fun with us in this hour. We'll have Dan Israel on next segment. That's the planned time anyway. Dan's bouncing around on some scheduling things, so we hope to have Dan there. It's going to be a fun week as we get ready for conference championship games. Be a fun week. By the way, thanks to Crestview Country Club for being support of the program. Great time to give Crestview a call in these cold weather months. You never know if there are any kind of specials or deals to get joined up. Tommy and I are out there. We're going to hit the simulator here pretty quick. I think our wives are headed to an event called Galentine's Day, whatever that means.
Are you bummed we didn't get an invite to go to Galentine's Day?
To Galentine's Day?
I don't even know what that means.
I'm guessing with the gal, it's implied that we were never going to be invited to something like that. But,
gotcha.
You know, happy wife, happy life. They'll have a great time, and we'll just keep picking up the scraps, I guess, never anything. Boy, Tommy, a couple middle-aged white men just can't get ahead in this world, you know?
There's just nothing
going for us.
I tell you what. It's tough. It's a tough life.
It is. No, we do appreciate Crestview Country Club, though. Give them a call. We'd love to see you out there. We're both out there. We both love it. All right, Tommy. You, not here yesterday. Let's get a quick bird's eye on the Chiefs, and then we'll dig way in with Dan Israel here later in the hour. We text a lot during that game. I think for me, it's like this awakening game. I think there was a little bit of offensive rust in that game. I think there was probably a little bit of rust all across the board until that fourth quarter, which was just absolutely dominant for the Chiefs. I would be concerned if I was the rest of the league. 212 yards of offense. That's all they had in the game. 212 yards of offense. Isn't that crazy? That's an unfair number because you have sack yardage taken away from that to some degree, but They feel like it's all lining up. The Kelce game was so predictable because they're finally healthy everywhere where he can get some single coverage. Their offense has a chance to be so multifaceted that it's going to be difficult to stop them in key spots in a game, right? Like they're basically like, just don't make any mistakes. Just don't let Mahomes get murdered with your tackles, and their offense is going to be fine. And now all of a sudden they're going to find a pass rush for the first time. Not just, Spags was as good as Spags gets in that game, but I thought the defensive line was as good as it's been all year in that game too. It just feels like as that game progressed, we saw the Chiefs hit that stride that they hadn't been able to really hit all year, and all the phases kind of combined and all together. And they're the healthiest they've been, and I think they look great in a game where they didn't look that great, oddly. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
It's wild to me that in a game when you've got on the opposing defensive line, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, that the Chiefs' defensive line, I thought, outplayed the Texans' defensive line. And don't get me wrong, Anderson and Hunter, like the entire defensive line for the Texans played really well. The Chiefs' defensive line, though, played out of their minds. And we're not just talking about like Chris Jones. Like usually it's like one guy. Like Chris Jones will have a really good game, or George Karloftis will have a really good game. It was both of those guys. You know, it was Felix Anudike Uzama had a really good game. The play calling was great. I mean, when Spags dialed up the blitzes, he knew exactly what to do and when to call them. And I know that he was very aggressive, but when to bring the house, when to draw back in coverage. You know, there were times where he was bringing different looks from the blitzes, and it got C.J. Stroud rattled, and that offensive line for Houston was not particularly good on Saturday. So I think that was a big part of it as well. If they can continue that, you know, it was huge. And what's funny about it is that that's not been the way that the Chiefs defensively have played most of the season. Like, it's been not getting after the quarterback, but it's been stopping the run. And I thought Joe Mixon had a pretty solid game for Houston. So it really wasn't the run stopping for Kansas City on Saturday. It was them being able to get after the quarterback and be able to chase C.J. Stroud down. And they did that at a pretty large scale. I think that bodes well for them moving forward for sure.
I don't think Buffalo's game plan is going to be really any different than it was in its game against Baltimore than Houston's was against Kansas City. Buffalo's going to come into the game, try to play mistake-free, and try to keep the Chiefs' offense off the field. That's exactly what the Texans wanted to do. It's exactly why they were so frustrated when drives were extended on those calls, roughing calls or whatever. Like, that was their game plan, right? Is to get them off the field quickly and don't let their offense have an opportunity to pile it up on you. And they did a pretty good job of that. They had some bad mistakes in the game, some bad coaching decisions. Ball didn't bounce their way a couple of times. Buffalo will, I think, try to do the same thing against Kansas City. They're going to try to run the ball. They're going to try to keep the offense off the field, and they're going to try to do exactly what they did against Baltimore, which is play mistake-free. That will be a critical. Obviously, the last round, if it didn't show you that turnovers matter in the NFL, then nothing does. You don't envision that game, I don't think, at the surface of being a game that'll have a lot of turnovers. I think the weather looks pretty good. Like, I don't imagine that turnovers are going to be a huge part of it. So then, like, okay, well, if you don't anticipate either team making mistakes, who makes the big plays at that point? And I think that this is going to be such a fun game because it's pretty obvious what both teams will want to do. It's execution. It's all of these things. And we saw it in the game. If there was any rust, and I think there was, it's gone now for the Chiefs. Like, they're in the groove here. They don't have any of that to deal with now.
I think you bring up a really, really intriguing point about the turnovers. And this is something I'd love to get Dan Israel's thoughts on next segment when he joins us, is Buffalo. I know any team will take turnovers when they're given to you, but how aggressive does Buffalo get in trying to force them? Because Kansas City has not turned the ball over since the last time these two teams played back in, what was that, week 12 in Buffalo? The Chiefs have not turned the ball over one time in 2 months. And so does Buffalo, do they get aggressive in trying to force turnovers, knowing that the Chiefs have not been prone to that lately? Or do they drop back? Do they try to play a little bit more conservative and just try to stop them and limit them pushing the ball down the field? Like, I think that's, you know, a really interesting question, because do they want to be like ball hawkish and aggressive and go after trying to like force fumbles and turn the ball? Like, or is it more like, hey, we're just going to play straight up defense? I just don't know the answer to that, because the Chiefs have been the best in the league since the last time these two teams met up and not turning the ball over.
Chiefs are going to take chances. Like, Spags is unlocked right now. They're going to, through blitzing, I think, take their chances. They've got their corners back. Like, we talk about the good health, it doesn't just mean that Hollywood Brown's back. It means that Jalen Watson's back. It means that Chris Jones doesn't appear to be hobbled anymore. It means that Kelsey can finally cut loose. It means that Harrison Butker's back. Like, the amount of injuries and, you know, roster adversity the Chiefs dealt with has been largely overlooked. Not here. Obviously, in this part of the world, we're well aware of it. But nationally, because they keep winning games, right? And they keep doing these things. I don't know who's best. I think the Chiefs' best game is better than Buffalo's best game. But I think that margin is so thin, right? Like, if Josh Allen makes 4 or 5 Superman plays to lead Buffalo to a win, anybody going to be surprised by that? If Patrick Mahomes makes a few Superman plays, he had one in the game against Houston, the touchdown to Kelsey. Like, it's such a fun game to think about and imagine, because these are teams that you don't think are going to beat themselves. They haven't done that in so long this year that it's not like in the card. Like, when you're thinking about Ravens, Bills, you do think about, fair or unfair, Is Lamar, are the Ravens going to make the mistakes they've made of the past, right? You think about that stuff all the time. You don't really think about that in this game. It's kind of like who's best is better. And in the regular season, it was Buffalo. And you know, more often than not, outside of, you know, when you factor in regular and postseason, like Buffalo's been better in this series with Allen and Mahomes, just not in the postseason. And here we go again. Like, it's the same script we get all the time. They play in the regular season and Buffalo wins, and then they play in the postseason and Mahomes wins. And here we are again. This time it's in Kansas City, and I can't wait for it. Like, it is, it's a tight line for a reason. You've got the two, you know, two of the three best in the business going at it under center. Like, it's got everything we want.
I'll tell you one thing that Sean McDermott is not going to do. He's not going to ignore Travis Kelce. He's not going to forget about Travis Kelce. He's not going to leave Travis Kelce alone. And there were a majority of times in the Houston game where the Texans lost track of Kelce, or they didn't give him, I don't want to say they didn't give him enough respect. I just don't think that they really anticipated that Kelce would be the one to beat them. And that was a huge mistake. It was a huge mistake from Houston.
There's mistake, and then there's also that Kelce is a Hall of Famer and maybe the best that ever has done it at his position with a quarterback that may be the best.
Bracket him. They didn't do that at
that's
all.
What, but that's where the Chiefs' health comes into play.
Yeah.
You can do that, but now you've got to deal with three other wide receivers who are very good. Houston made
their choice, right?
They didn't want to get beat by Worthy in big plays.
I would have made the other choice.
You can make a case that Houston's game plan was solid. Like the Chiefs, I'll say it again, and I know Kelce had a big game. I thought he would have a big game. The Chiefs had 212 total yards of offense in that game. So, like, would you take that going in? Because I think you would. We'll talk about that strategy, too. We're getting into it. We're digging in with the Chiefs deep in this hour. It's Sports Daily. Don't go away. We're coming right back.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Dan Israel in our Chiefs Insider. Dan, glad to have you in. As much as we all want to look forward because we're all salivating over another Chiefs-Bills playoff matchup, let's look back first and remember a pretty interesting game in the divisional round for the Chiefs. I do think there was rust. I subscribe to the theory that there was. They didn't gain a ton of yards, but they were sort of in control. And I honestly think that's dangerous for the opposition. What were some of your big takeaways from that divisional game?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, I think they came out and they just showed a little bit of tempo difference maybe between themselves and the Texans. And then the Texans were being very physical too, which is, I don't know if that's usual for them or not. I remember in the earlier contest, I was a little surprised how fast they were, but the physicality didn't really stand out to me. But last week, I thought they were both. The Texans were. And so Chiefs had to come up to speed really quickly on that. And I felt the second half was much better. Certainly felt like it was more fluid and more on the running back situations, you know, to me is just I don't know, man. I'd hate to have to make that decision every week because it's a tough one. And you know, for the Chiefs to have such an embarrassment of riches there is phenomenal. But I do think the defense as well was a little bit rusty, which surprised me. You know, I thought the defensive line in particular probably came to speed quicker than any of the other units. But and, you know, the secondary, it's all about reaction anyway. So I thought the secondary looked good with Watson. I guess all in all, I felt like it was a good Chiefs outing. I hope that they can keep that tempo and pace and start this game a little faster.
From a defensive perspective, I think Steve Spagnuolo showed why he's the best defensive coordinator in the league. And we know that he's going to dial up blitzes. That's kind of what he does. The timing of the blitzes, the way that he brought the pressure, all of that, you know, really showed that, you know, CJ Stroud was under quite a bit of duress throughout the course of that game. What was interesting, I thought, Dan, was the fact that, you know, when we've seen the pass rush for Kansas City this season so far, it's usually one guy standing out. It's Chris Jones in a yeah. game, or it's George Karlaftis in a game. It was both of those guys and Felix Anudike Uzomah, like they all feasted in that game. And I thought that was, you know, a nice addition and hopefully something that can continue on next week.
Yeah, I think Karlaftis now has like 8 playoff sacks.
Yeah.
Karlaftis.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
But he was a beast on last, when we play Saturday.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's starting to all blur together. He was a beast. And I feel like, you know, Felix had probably the best game I think he's had. You know, Chris, you expected.
Yeah.
You're paying him all that money.
Yeah.
He's rested. You got to come out and play, especially in the playoffs. This wasn't a regular season game. This is the playoffs. And so I guess it, you know, you it's kind of become the MO for the Texans to come up and lose early in the playoffs to Kansas City at Arrowhead. But, you know, I felt that was one of the better Texans teams we've seen, and Chiefs were still able to handle that. It should give you a lot of encouragement. If you looked at the Bills Ravens game, it looked to me as though the Ravens pretty much gave that game away as well. The Bills didn't look incredibly strong. You know, I mean, they didn't look like they could just easily handle the Texans. So I'm encouraged by both the play of last week and in the play of the Ravens and Bills games for this week.
Don't you think that the Bills kind of played like the Chiefs? Like,
yeah. Absolutely.
It's just kind of like, okay, whatever you think you need to do, we're just going to not make mistakes. We're going to, you know, show you why we've been so successful at this for so long now. I think, Dan, that it's good that the Bills beat the Ravens as far as the Chiefs are concerned. I think the Ravens present some matchup challenges for the Chiefs that the Bills probably don't. But on the flip side of that, the Bills also don't really make mistakes when it gets to this point, like the Ravens are prone to do too.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I'm not a huge Lamar Jackson believer. I feel like he's a great quarterback. If you want to vote for him for the MVP, fine, do so. But I feel like when he gets into these big games, it's not like he just chokes 100%, but there's just some things he can't do. And when the game is put on his back, I don't think Lamar Jackson can carry an entire team. And I know that's a statement, and he very well may be this year's MVP, but we've seen it year after year after year. And so I kind of wanted to see the Ravens come into Arrowhead just because I thought it would be an easier contest. But, and you're right, Jacob, the way the Bills played them on Sunday was very much a, hey, we're just going to sit back here and methodically play our game and just wait for you to make a mistake. And the Ravens did. They made enough of mistakes there.
Four of them.
The Bills could capitalize on it and couldn't recover. And so that's very much what the Chiefs have done all season long, right? So it could be an interesting low-scoring game this week with two defenses just waiting for the other one to pounce.
Talking about mistakes, Dan, I brought this up in the last segment. I'd love to get your take on it. It's remarkable to me that Kansas City has not turned the ball over one time since the last time these two teams played in Buffalo in Week 12. So they've not been prone to turning the ball over and making those mistakes. The offense, they haven't scored 30 points plus a game, but they're not turning the ball over. It makes me wonder, should Buffalo play them aggressively, like defensively? Like, should they be trying to force turnovers in this game this weekend, knowing that the Chiefs haven't turned the ball over in like 2 months? Or should they back off a little bit and just try to, you know, stop the run, you know, stop the pass? Or should they be ball hawks and trying to go after getting them to turn the ball over?
Well, I think all these defenses are kind of starting to adopt that, you know, punching the ball out and really trying to get that ball loose. And the Bills in particular are ball hawks. And so I'd like to say the Chiefs are becoming that. They kind of took a step in that direction. I don't think they fully became that. But, you know, stealing a possession in a playoff game can make a difference. So I guess I'd say, if you're asking me, the former, be more aggressive, go after the ball, try to steal a possession, because one possession in these games can make all the difference. Even if it's nothing than keeping the other guy off the field, but usually one of these possessions, you can get a field goal out of it. And these games are so close, man. They're finishing, you know, a touchdown. They're one score games, all these playoff games, you know, some of these, there hasn't really, that I can even think of, been a huge blowout where we just like, oh, well, that wasn't even worth watching. And so I feel like, if the defense can do just a little bit more for the offense, I think that pays dividends. And so I'd say probably, Tommy, be a little more aggressive on that side. Yeah, look, I mean, at some point, I don't know that you can be more aggressive than what the Chiefs get and what the Bills get.
Not
you know,
late in that game.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. So, but I feel like they just they've got the wherewithal to do it. So do it.
It is fascinating. I want to, speaking of the defenses, like, it to me was so predictable that that Kelce is primed to go off a little bit. I think it's because they're finally healthy. The Texans, Tommy and I were just talking about this before you came on. The Texans sort of made the decision to let Kelce eat a little bit, and it obviously bit him in Kelce's production. But when you look at the overall production, Mahomes had 177 yards. It makes me wonder what you take away from that if you're the Bills. Should you let Kelce eat a little bit? Because his propensity to, and I know he broke off one big one in that game, but if it wasn't for the 50-yard reception, he'd had about six catches for 50 or 60 yards. Is that because when you look at the totality of the offense, it wasn't the best offensive game for the Chiefs. So how do you handle that, do you think, if you're the opposition? Do you go back to King and on Kelce? Because if you do that, now you've got to deal with Hopkins and Worthy and Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, I feel like, D'Amico Ryan's really kind of took the attitude of, hey, we'll give Kelce a little food, but nobody's getting any explosive plays on us. And we're going to keep this from getting out of hand quickly. And unfortunately, that plan didn't work either. And right. So I don't really know. I do feel like we all kind of knew deep down inside that Kelce has been saving it up. He was going to hit that turbo button as soon as the playoffs started. And so him getting in there and looking a little bit more like himself, I think was expected. But, I guess the rule of thumb there is you're on the road with a defense. You're trying to win a championship game like this. Make it a defensive, keep those guys, keep that score low, give your offense a chance to do something. And the unfortunate part about that, the Texans defense, in my opinion, is really built for that. The Bills defense is different. I wish there was some way we could get rid of Milano. Every time I look through, like, how would I strategically attack this? Matt Milano just keeps, that guy just is always in the way, whether he's batting a pass or whether he's, spinning around the defense or the tackles and coming from the backside to create pressure. Now, I don't think it's going to be that easy to get pressure on Mahomes as much as it is CJ Stroud. I do feel like Mahomes is a better read of defenses than Stroud was, but nevertheless, and I even say Jackson, I was surprised with the Bills-Ravens game. I was surprised that Jackson didn't scramble more. He was getting enough pressure that I just thought he would scramble more. But I guess that he was trying not to do too much. And when he did try to do too much, that's when he was fumbling the ball. So maybe he was just trying to get settled in back there. But the whole game was a weird game to me with an anomaly. They forgot about Derrick Henry. The Ravens forgot about Derrick Henry for about, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 minutes of ball game. And then they came, it just wasn't your conventional Ravens game. I did think the Bills were a little more themselves, but even with that said, did you guys think Josh Allen was particularly, amazing?
No.
I mean, he was Josh Allen, and he has that, whatever they call that. It's not, they don't call it the tush push, what do they call this? Snow shovel or something. they're going to get those. I mean, that guy's huge. He's 6'5", and he's on the books at 6'5", Josh Allen is, but he plays more like he's 6'7" or 6'8", I think. But I think for the Chiefs, what will have to happen here is the Spagnuolo will take that assessment that he always does in the first quarter. It seems like the Chiefs just get in there and they bend and don't break. That was the best thing I felt like that came out of the Texans-Chiefs game was just I think it was 15 of the 17, I'm sorry, gosh, I'm going to forget this stat now. Most of the offense was played on the opponent's side of the field. So it was really a good example of, you've got 70 offensive snaps and so many of those were on the offense's the opponent's side of the field, that is a defense bending and not breaking. And we truly saw that in Sunday's game. They're going to need to do that same thing, I think, with the Bills, because the Bills are far more explosive than the Texans are. And the last thing you want to do is let this game, let the Bills get up in that 24, 27, 30, 31 kind of range, man. That's an awful lot to ask out of what we've seen out of the Chiefs offense.
With good weather too,
yeah.
Right?
I mean,
there's
going to
be good weather this week.
Yes.
I was trying to come up, Dan, with a word to describe the offensive line play from the game on Saturday. And really all I can come up with is enough. Like, they did enough.
Yeah.
They did what they needed to do. It's a patchwork offensive line, especially left tackle with Joe Tooney and all of that. But when you're going up against Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, I mean, it was enough. Like, they did ultimately what they needed to do for Kansas City to get the win and move on. That's probably got to be the recipe this weekend and then, you know, in potentially a Super Bowl. Is they just need to do enough. They can't let Mahomes get killed back there.
No, you're exactly right, Tommy. I'd like to say that, you know, this would be a step down from the Texans game playing the Bills, and that Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson aren't there, but Von Miller showed last week he's still alive and cooking. So I don't know. It's just, you get to this level of ball, I think it's interesting that you know, the same four teams end up in this, you know, the final rounds, the divisional and championship rounds of the conference. And it goes to show that these are all good teams. And I think the guy who makes the least mistakes is going to be the winner, just like we saw on Saturday. But to Tommy's point, the offensive line, I think, is going to win. If we three-peat this thing, it's going to be said about them that they did just enough to get it done, because I just don't think there's a deeper well there they can tap right now. We'll see. DJ Humphrey's coming back. You know, who knows? But I don't think they've seen enough to trust him. So
no, you can't risk that. I mean, I'm glad he's there as depth,
as a backup.
That.
Yeah.
So what's really interesting about this to me, all that we're talking about in the conservative sort of like Vegas has the over under on this game, the exact same it does in the Commanders Eagles game. And I bring up that point about the weather, because both teams played in some pretty gnarly conditions last weekend. And I do think that probably lended itself to the style that Buffalo and Kansas City chose to play in the game. 32 degrees and sunny, I think, is what we're looking at. They're going to get tempted, I would imagine, both offenses to probably take more shots. Vegas certainly thinks so, than they did in those opening games. Just something to think about, because I think both of these offenses in these passing games, when it's not really, really cold, maybe snowy, and the wind howling around, could just choose to open it up because they can.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that Mahomes and Allen have both done well this year is to take what the defenses has given them. I think in particular, Mahomes learned that last year. I think Allen kind of learned that this year. I noticed him, taking things that he would not normally do, that the Brett Favre gunslinging mentality that, he has at times was on much less display as the Bills went through their regular season. But, you get out there in a playoff game and your emotions and your energy levels surging, and you're excited, and the weather isn't going to be they're not going to feel 32 degrees and sunny. That's going to feel like just an average day of playing football. It's, they're not having to keep, bitter cold, their hands from getting cold and all of that. So you're right. You're going to feel comfortable. And the more comfortable they feel back there, I think the more willing they'll be to take chances. And I'm saying they, because I'm throwing Mahomes in here too. Mahomes likes that, he likes to hit that deep ball too. And he's got Xavier Worthy. He's got Hollywood Brown, man. I know those two are itching. Those three are itching to put on a demonstration. And I as a side note to last week's game against the Texans, I was disappointed in the Chiefs' ability to engage DeAndre Hopkins. I really feel like he is a huge factor, or could be a huge factor, in these games. And so as much as I love seeing Kelsey, get something to eat, I just feel like DeAndre Hopkins, they almost forgot about him. And I don't know if that was the case. I don't know if he's just in a weird progression of Mahomes reads and he wasn't getting to him, but I'd like to see them not forget about him this week for sure.
I think it's either or, Kelce or Hopkins. Like, I think if you lock up Kelce, you're going to have to deal with that on Hopkins. Dan, we appreciate it. You guys will have pre- and post-game coverage for us here on KNSS on the Chiefs Radio Network, championship weekend, a 5:30 kick. So I guess the sun isn't a factor, but I don't think it's supposed to be particularly windy yet at this point. Looks 5-mile-per-hour winds. It's going to be, as things go this time of year at Arrowhead Stadium, it's going to be a nice change from the Miami game last year and
that's right.
And last week against that game. So we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to the call with Mitch and you guys getting it all done for us. And man, it's storybook what we've
fun
got
stuff,
coming this
isn't
weekend.
It? Hard to believe one game away from a goal like three-peating. It's just phenomenal.
Unbelievable is correct. Dan, we appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good Tuesday, guys.
We'll talk to Dan next week and recap what we see on Sunday. But yeah, it's 47.5. Is that over under, Tommy? I hadn't looked at that yet. That's pretty crazy. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. There's been coaching moves in the NFL as well that we need to get to. Some headlines. Don't go away. It's Sports Daily on a Tuesday.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Good morning, gentlemen. Really appreciated the Jalen Thompson interview yesterday. Just, nothing like some baseball talk to keep you warm in this cold weather. If you want to dream a little bit, man, Jacob just said it's going to be a great week. It's potentially going to be a great year. You got the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. You got the Royals, I think, making a run in the playoffs. KU, this may be the weak link, but may have a team that can make a deep run in March Madness. And you got K-State, who can probably hopefully will go a ways in the college football playoff. So, looking like a great year. Have a great day.
This is an optimistic take there from Ken. That's a voice message, and you can leave those with us on the Odyssey app. It's a great way to check out the program if you want to. You don't have time to call or do whatever it is that you need to do. Just leave us a voice message, just like the video comments that we get. We get those via Facebook, via YouTube, on X, all kinds of different ways to get in touch with the program. And we appreciate each and every one of you for doing it. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you. Tommy, we're talking Chiefs. We're kind of getting ready for Bills. It's hard not to think about anything else. The point total there, until we were talking to Dan, I hadn't really looked at that. Certainly not indicative of the way either of these offenses played in the last game. So it does beg the question to some degree, was that a factor of the circumstances, a factor of the weather that both teams were playing in, or was it a factor of desire and the want to play that way? Because if it's the latter, 47.5 points is a little bit of a stretch. I think Vegas is anticipating these teams being more of the juggernaut offenses they're both capable of being in this game.
I think that number is set on just exactly that. It's set on what Vegas thinks the ceiling is offensively for both of these teams. If you do the math and you kind of break it down, okay, the Chiefs have not scored 30 points at all this season. So let's say they even get to the ceiling of what they've done this entire year. You're talking 29. Like, that's the most they've done this entire year. So I don't think that ceiling can be any higher than that necessarily, right? So you're looking at a ceiling of 29 max points, and you subtract that from 47.5, you're talking, what, a 29-19 game at that point? You're talking about like a 10-point potential win for Kansas City right at that line, or it might be broken down a little bit differently than that, but that's kind of the distribution. So while I think that number is a little bit out of reach, at least from what we've seen from Kansas City offensively, with the weather being potentially good this weekend and with the way that both of these teams are playing, I think this is a game that a lot of people will probably hammer the under, but it wouldn't shock me if we see both of these teams actually unlocked. That's a long version way of getting to what I wanted to say.
Yeah, I think I'd lean the under. I think I would lean the under.
I think a lot of people are going to, but it wouldn't surprise me if all of a sudden we see both Mahomes and Allen unlocked a little bit.
Well, for sure, that's always possible with these teams because they're the two best. But at the same time, like Kansas City's offensive game plan is harder for me to predict what they want to do offensively. Buffalo's, to me, is not nearly as hard. Buffalo would love to run the ball. Buffalo would love to play ball control in this game. And if even if they want to do that, you would think potentially lower score. It's really, really interesting to think about a number that high when both of these teams are capable of, and just showed us that they're capable of sort of scaling it back a little bit. Maybe it was just because of the weather. That'll be an interesting one to watch and to see. And we'll ask PJ Glasser on Thursday what he thinks of that. But we just saw, I mean, neither one of these teams had 250 yards of offense in the last game they played. Did Buffalo get to 250? They did. They barely did. That's pretty interesting dynamic. By the way, the Chiefs just went to a 2-point favorite. So the line is moving in their favor, which means the public likes the Chiefs, which doesn't surprise me. It doesn't get, I mean, this is storybook on that side. And then on the NFC side, you've got, you know, Jaden Daniels trying to, and really everybody rooting for him because nobody likes the Eagles, I don't think, outside of Philadelphia fans. You're just kind of rooting for Jaden Daniels and the Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury redemption story that is. Well, it's awesome. It's hard not to get caught up in it, quite frankly. Ben Johnson, Tommy, is going to be the coach of the Chicago Bears. You know, I hoped for this marriage, honestly, because if Ben Johnson really is that dude, I would like to see Caleb Williams get that dude to see if Caleb Williams can be a great quarterback. I love great quarterbacks across the league. It's better. The game is better. So if Caleb Williams has a chance and Ben Johnson is this guy, great. I'm happy that he's in Chicago now because I want to see that at the least. I want to see the potential of Caleb Williams, whatever that potential is, be reached and not be tethered by bad coaching, which Chicago's had plenty of that in the last regime, some pretty bad coaching. So I'm happy about that move. Even though I've got no skin in the game, don't really care one way or the other about the Bears, I'm glad Ben Johnson's there, and I'm glad that's where he ended up. After 3 years now of basically us hearing that he has his choice of wherever it is that he wants to go, he chose Chicago, which I do think is pretty interesting.
I think he's a really good offensive coordinator. There were a couple of head-scratching decisions in the Detroit loss on Sunday. And you and I texted about those and about, you know, what ended up happening. There was that one play where didn't he have Jameson Williams throwing the ball down the field? You know, that was kind of bizarre. Like there were some weird, and I'm like, okay, Ben Johnson, you're a great coordinator. But these are some weird decisions you're making.
You have to look at that in context. That's a much worse decision by Jameson Williams than it was. Now you can make the case that it was a bad decision to let Jameson Williams be capable of making a good decision because he's consistently not capable of that. But they did set that play up with a play that had everybody, including the announcers, salivating earlier in the game, where they sort of did that, you know, like double handoff, basically. It was the same design. They were trying to use the same thing to set up a wide open deep ball. There wasn't a wide open deep ball. And I have to imagine in that circumstance, the message is very clear. If it's not wide open down there, Jameson Williams, throw the ball away. Don't try to make a perfect pass and beat a defender. After Jameson Williams has the brilliant play and probably should have been penalized for his pumping celebration in the end zone, I thought Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon-Ra St. Brown were going to kill him when they saw what he was about to do there.
You don't get flagged for that, but you get flagged for dunking the football over the goalpost. Like, what are we doing
here? Isn't there the old joke of how many pumps you can get before it's a flag? I think there is something like that. But, like, I don't know that there's a more boneheaded.
Isn't that a Blink-182 song?
How many pumps you get?
You know, like, isn't like shake it once, you're fine. Shake it twice, that's, you know.
Oh, a good time? I don't know.
Yeah. Shake it three times.
Yeah. I'm not sure. But, like, what are you doing, dude? Like, that guy makes, like, between the betting and, like, he is one bad decision after another. Like, he makes George Pickens look like a Rhodes Scholar when it comes to good football decisions being made within a game. Like, come on, dude. Like, you can't do that in that spot. And then he has that throw. So I don't know how much of that's Ben Johnson. Long way to get to. I don't know how much of that is Ben Johnson in design and how much it's just Jameson Williams making a really terrible and awful in-game decision. It's probably both. Now, again, don't let him do it because he's never shown you he's not going to do it. Like, he's an incredible athlete that makes explosive plays, but he also makes bad decisions every opportunity he gets to make a bad decision. But I'm glad Ben Johnson's in Chicago. Looks like Aaron Glenn may be the leader in the clubhouse for the Jets. It's fine. I don't know what to make of the Jets job because I don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be. And then that's it. That's really all the movement we've had. There was Kellen Moore to Dallas, smoke. Now there's Brian Schottenheimer, who is the offensive coordinator, smoke, which makes absolutely no sense. Why would you promote from within if you're going to let Mike McCarthy walk?
Would you rather have Kellen Moore be the head coach, or would you rather have Jason Witten be the coach?
The alternative.
You'd rather have Jason Witten coach?
Whatever
than
the alternative
Moore?
Is. Really? Whatever the alternative is. Yes. No. Would you say that Jalen Hurts has become a better quarterback?
No.
Under Kellen Moore?
No.
Would you say that Justin Herbert last year became a better quarterback under Kellen Moore?
No.
Would you say that Dak Prescott ever became a better
No. But would you
absolutely
say that Kellen
not.
Moore
I don't want
would you say Kellen Moore want, is a better potential coach than Jason Witten is?
I don't want Kellen Moore anywhere near Dak Prescott. Nowhere. No. Absolutely not. Be the last, like, of the list of potential hires for the Cowboys that I would be on board with, that would be at the very absolute bottom of the list. No, doesn't make any sense. He may be a great head coach. This isn't even so much a knock on Kellen Moore and his prowess to do it, because he was the golden boy for a long time. It's that everywhere he goes, quarterbacks don't get better. Now, you could make the case that the Eagles' offense in totality is better, and I'll subscribe to that. Absolutely. But for the Cowboys to succeed, Dak Prescott must be the best version of himself. And that's where I would say absolutely not to Kellen Moore. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Jason Witten, I don't know what Jason Witten does stylistically. I have no idea what Now, and people are all over the Jason Witten hire. Like, if you told me you were bringing in Jason Witten and you'd have Cliff Kingsbury as his offensive coordinator and Dan Quinn as his defensive coordinator, be like, yeah, okay. That's probably fine. That sounds good to me, right? He's a Hall of Famer. Like, he knows football. He's fine. He's been coaching, at least doing some in-game thing. I know it's high school, but at least that to me is a better swing, you know, than Kellen Moore or maybe even Brian Schottenheimer, who was a part of the regime that just left. Now, I don't know anything about Brian Schottenheimer, so I would, but Kellen Moore, like, no, the quarterbacks play worse when he's there. Everywhere he goes. No, I don't think the Cowboys can survive and thrive that way. They have to get the best of Dak Prescott. Cost them $60 million.
Who are they going to thrive with? Like, if you had to rank it, like, who are you at this point? The Deion smoke has calmed down, I feel like, quite a bit. It's quieted down. Let's take him out of the equation, because that's going to be splashy. Outside of potentially prime, like, who are you looking at?
Tomlin.
That's not going to happen.
I would have loved Vrabel.
That's not going to happen. I'm talking about who's left that you can go and get. It's not Kellen Moore at this point.
No.
Because I think it's going to be Kellen Moore. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if it was.
You know, I don't even know, honestly. Like, I love the idea of the defense. Just a hard-nosed it matters really about, like, who's going to do what with Dak. Are you going to make him a play-action quarterback again? What does he have left in the tank? I'm pretty much open to anything except for a retread or Kellen Moore. Like, I don't want what we've already seen. And again, that's not even a knock on Kellen Moore. It's not. Like, it's a knock on that didn't work for Dak. We already know that didn't work for Dak. So you've got to be able, for whatever, however you do it, you have to try something else.
Here's a question. Do you think Jerry Jones could pull Cliff Kingsbury to Dallas? And would you be okay with that?
I would, honestly, because I actually am pretty fond of Cliff Kingsbury.
He was not a good head coach for the Cardinals. It did not go well.
Was Kyler Moore was Kyler Murray good? I mean, you know, like
Kyler Murray was better when Kingsbury left.
That's what I'm saying. And if you're telling me the only thing he does is make Dak better, then yeah, I'd probably be okay with that in the short,
But I think Kyler Murray is a better quarterback now that Cliff Kingsbury's not there.
Oh, you think Kyler Murray's better without Cliff Kingsbury?
I don't think he has. Murray regressed. I mean, since Kingsbury left, at least they've. I feel like Jonathan Gannon is turning that franchise around to win games. Cliff Kingsbury couldn't do that.
I think Kyler Murray has absolutely regressed since Kingsbury left. I wish I had time to look at this now. His quarterback ratings were the highest in 21, 20.
They're not winning. They didn't win games with Kingsbury. I think they're going to be better doing that now.
I'm talking about just for the quarterback. We can talk about that tomorrow. It's an interesting conversation. We'll see. Kingsbury's, I think, going to stay in Washington. We'll come right back. More Sports Daily after this.